Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Gratitude is the attitude. It is the attitude of being grateful to God in truth, in love, and hope. On Thanksgiving morning at 10 o'clock, our son Stephen will celebrate his marital love with Paige Panter along the southern banks of the San Antonio River. Most relatives will be joining by live streaming. What once had would been a large gathering is now just to an intimate few family members. In the adjustment of their wedding love, there is the attitude of gratitude of a love that does not let go. Theirs for each other, theirs from God, and our sense of community together who has made so many adjustments and pivots and sacrifices by this blasted thing called COVID. But COVID is not the victor. COVID sets an environment by which we are living our lives, but how we live our lives can be set free, unhindered, by an attitude of gratitude in the fullness of who God is for our life. In the midst of the adjustments that you've had to make, you have been patient and kind with other people, right? In the midst of a fear of a COVID spike over the holiday season, you are worshiping God in Thanksgiving in the Christmas season, right? In the midst of not knowing how the future will unfold, you do know who holds the future, right? And in the midst of the words of the psalmist, you know it to be true. Give thanks to God who is good, whose love is eternal, right? Absolutely. And the absolute truth of that comes to dwell inside of us with a joy that has no bound, because God is not bound by the circumstances in our world, but comes to us in the midst of our circumstances to center us so that we may be centered in Him and be unhindered. A grateful person is an unhindered person, working to create joy for others. If we are free in Christ, we are free indeed, is how the Apostle Paul would write from his prison cell to believers and unbelievers around the Roman Empire. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain, is how he would say he looked fear death face to face and saw the face of Christ. To be unhindered then is to be set free from all in this world that would seek to pull us back. Have you run a race, whether it be in grade school or in your family or in competitive events at the highest level, and there was someone to whom you were racing with that held on to your jersey and tried to hold you back? And you had to fight through that in order still to be set free and to excel in your ability to overcome that hindrance. The power of the gospel of Jesus Christ has been set free in our world. It was set free among the early Christians, which is why from May 29th, Pentecost Sunday, to today, the Thanksgiving Sunday, we have been walking through the faith in the living Jesus Christ from the pages of Acts, the fifth book of the New Testament. We have been learning from our brothers and sisters who were the first believers of Christ's resurrection scene, and now more than 25 years after the resurrection of Christ, we have the closing two verses of the book of Acts, and they are strange verses. They are summary verses. They're verses, though, that reveal to us this truth, and it's a truth that Paul says is what has set him free. Now, his companion there with him under house arrest in Rome is Luke. Luke is the writer of the Gospel of Luke and the writer of the book of Acts. They're like a 1-2 volume. They are bookends in telling the story, Luke and Acts. a Greek physician who became a believer in Christ. He had been set free, unhindered by the stuff in this world. He then wrote the story so that we would have God's story from this earliest followers of the living Christ. And he summarizes it in two ways. He says, well, Paul lived there for 2 years. And living there for 2 years, he lived under house arrest and he paid for his own home. He was there and he welcomed all who came to see him. He was there and he boldly proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ without hindrance. Now, in these two verses, Luke summarizes a lot. He tells us that for 104 weeks, Paul was living in a circumstance not of his choosing. He was living in a circumstance for 2 years with a light chain attached to his wrist and attached to a changing guard of the Roman centurions. For 2 years, 104 weeks. And in the midst of this, he was free. He didn't ask to go to Rome. He didn't ask for his 2 years there. He didn't ask to try to endure a shipwreck. He didn't ask for the 2 years of imprisonment that he had earlier in Caesarea. He asked for none of it, and yet it's what came to him in life. And he was unhindered by his gratitude of God's presence and forced to pay his own rent to live in a place he didn't want to be. But there he was. But he was set free. Set free by an inner attitude that could welcome all who came to see him. Men and women, boys and girls, Roman citizens, Jewish Christians, people from all walks of life. They were all welcomed into a prisoner's home because he was free. And he explained the big picture of God, the kingdom of God, the Genesis to Revelation, the story of why we're made in God's image and why we're made so that we may be able to live free and not give ourselves again to the bondage, the slavery of sin. He gave us the kingdom of God that we could be free of a politics that would hinder us in life. We would be free of economic burdens that hold us back from being financially free. He set us free from the searching for social esteem and success that only causes us to want the approval of other people. He has set us free in this unhindered life. That's the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. If you find three words in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John, that describe what Jesus' message and how Jesus would speak of his message, he used the three words, the kingdom of God. What is in this kingdom of God? It's to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If there's any phrase to get us unstuck from the anger that we're stuck in as a nation, it's to apply the golden rule. It's being unstuck by the act of forgiveness when we can forgive 7 times 70. That is the sense that we are free because grace has set us free. And then he taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. And in teaching about the Lord Christ, he gave the church the earliest confession of the faith. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christos y Kyrios. If you meet someone from other regions of the world who were truly imprisoned because of their faith, they were standing up to an authoritarian ruler, the prisms of a communist regime, let's say, or under some other ideology. And when they were there, you ask them this question, what does Jesus Christ as Lord mean to you if they're believers? They will stand erect. They will say, that's what got me through. Because there was no other force that was trying to control me, but they could control where I went and what I did, but they could not control who I am and what I would feel and think because Jesus Christ is my Lord. In this Thanksgiving season, where all of us have been impacted by something we didn't ask for called COVID-19, we need to be remembered. We need to remember that we have been set free. We have been set free by the same kind of freedom that Paul gives a testimony in closing out his scene in Rome. Yesterday, when we as a church, by way of our bountiful blessing ministry team, provided meals during a Thanksgiving season for more than 100 families, touching more than 400 stomachs. The cars were lined up because of the adjustment in how we serve the food and bountiful blessing. A driver will come by and visits are made with masks being worn, food is given, prayers that are being offered. There was someone like a Lewis, whose father died of COVID-19. He himself had recovered. His wife had it too, but a lighter case. Fortunately, their 9-year-old child did not have it. You meet someone like a Maria, whose two daughters have cancer, life-threatening cancer. You meet someone like a Catherine, who's awaiting surgery. You meet another person who's going through a divorce, but she's grateful for her job. You meet people who are living in the circumstances of their life and grateful for a generosity of the gospel that helps to provide food and how we learn from each other. We are in this together. So Paul would write two books, the books from which Sarah read and earlier in our worship service. She wrote these two books, which are only 4 chapters each, 8 chapters in total, that Paul wrote while he was in prison in Rome, the book of Philippians and the book of Colossians. Philippians is known as a book of joy. 16 times the word kar is spoken about joy. The word joy then permeates within the Apostle Paul while he's in this 2 years of confinement in Rome because something has set him free. It's an attitude of gratitude in seeing exactly the world as it is, not being deceived by the world pretending to be something more than what it is, because he has seen the creator of the heavens and the universe, the one whom he loves. He has seen the truth. He has seen the love. He is aware of who he is in light of Christ. He could speak of and write of joy. He would then write about to the Philippians. He would write to the people from whom he had lived with for months on end and to whom he was the closest of any other church. He would open his letter to them while his hand was being hindered by a chain. His spirit was unhindered and he could write, "Whenever I think of you, I remember you with gratitude. I thank my God every time I remember you," Philippians 1:3. And in that promise, what he provides while looking out across the scene of Rome, is that there were believers who were praying for him, sustaining him, and he was praying and praying for them because they were going through a difficult time. And he began that with gratitude. "I thank my God for you." In this Thanksgiving week, give thanks to God for the people in your life. He even gave thanks for the centurion to whom he was attached by this light chain in such a way that the centurion realized that it was Paul who was free and it was he who was buckled down by the pressures in this world. See, when we live that kind of gratitude, we show the unhindered way of truly living in the grace of God. Now, I'm going to take you into the heart of this, that if you read Philippians and Colossians and you look at the gospel story, what you see is a way of living. And it all is connected to a word that in the Greek is char, if you transliterate that into English. It begins with a root word called joy, char, char. We find that this joy is an understanding that God lives with us and that this living with us gives us a grace. It's a grace that God provides for us as a sure gift. So the word joy becomes the word grace, charissa. And when we are living in this grace, we are made aware of his love that will not let go. We're made aware of Christ who lived and died on the cross and set us free from the bondage of sin. We are made aware of this grace that gives us thanksgiving. the author of Hebrews would put it this way: since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, people have gone before us with courage and surrounded by God's great blessings, let us look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now seated down at the right hand of God. This is the thanksgiving that God provides. And in a moment, we will take that odd thing in our hands, this representation of the bread and the fruit of the vine. And as we open it here, or what you've assembled to take it at home, you know that it's more than what it simply appears to be in your hand. It is a sign. It's a sign of the living presence of this Christ. And as you look into this Jesus, there is a joy that stirs inside you. There's a joy that has given you the grace of forgiveness and promise of tomorrow. It stirs inside you the power of a thanksgiving. And I pray that you will be saying thank yous to people this week, as you also express your gratitude to God. The meal was called first by Christians Eucharist, which is that same C-H-A-R. It is the meal of this Thanksgiving. Now, what I'm laying out very simply for you, if you're willing to follow the trail, is that in this one word of joy, we find grace, we find then thanksgiving, then we find the capacity to give a gift, because the same word becomes the word for gift, charism, and becomes the heart of the word of charismatic. So often we think as extroverts, Americans, that the charismatic person is the one, the man or the woman who walks into the room and all eyes turn towards him or her. That person may have a real power, wow factor. And they may truly be a person for whom this joy and grace and gratitude reigns from. Or it may just be a capacity of an ego, siphoning off oxygen in the room from people who are looking to get out of the pain of the moment. And we live in a celebrity culture that is sinking us. But let me tell you about real charismatic. The real charismatic is the grace gift that stirs your talents given by God. They're called grace gifts of hospitality or administration or craftsmanship with your hands, and the musical gifts, the gift of administration, the gift of a teaching, the gift of your talents being used in this expression of your gratitude in a world to help create joy for others. That's the charismatic of the New Testament. That's the charismatic of the church today. That's the charismatic of our lives, that every one of us, unhindered in the spirit of the living God, are charismatic because we're unhindered. Skip, dear friend of mine, passed away recently from a brain tumor. Among the last times I spoke with him, once shortly before his death, he spoke about his freedom. His freedom to die because he wasn't afraid. His freedom to live on the other side of death because he had seen the Christ go before him. He'd lived a good life. Many hardships came along his way. But you can see on the screen that smile that is in the photograph represents Skip's exclamation mark of joy in life that comes from a grace that is grateful, that is truly charismatic. It is the wonder of it all. When I was 17, homesick, selling Bibles in North Carolina, graduated from high school. I've shared some of that story with you. I did a strange thing. I went to the New Testament, and for some reason, I chose the book of Acts to read to try to assuage my hurting heart. I thought I'd find a secret in here. And when I finished reading Acts, almost in one sitting, I just sat down trying to find something that would get me through my homesickness. It ended with these two verses, and I think, where's the end of the story? Why does it end here? Because the story hasn't ended. The story continues. last spring when I had some minor surgery, again, I had a couple of days to myself, and one sitting again, I just found myself picking up the book of Acts, and I found myself asking, how was it that they lived their lives with such a victory in the midst of such difficulty? Asking that question. And I remembered a word that an old senior professor had taught me in my earliest seminary days. He had written a book a long, long time ago, written a book on Acts that made a major contribution of how Acts was studied and written about around the world even today. His name is Frank Stagg, and the word was akalutos, the last word that was written unhindered. He said, if you read Acts, what you discover is that from the opening to the closing, it's the gospel wanting to be unhindered in the lives of believers. It's the gospel wanting to be unhindered for male and female, Jew and Greek, slave and free, for everyone. The gospel is what unhinders us and gives us the freedom to live. But the thing about the hindrances in this world, they're always trying to recapture our attention and to imprison our soul. To be set free. To be set free indeed. And so, Paul wrote in closing out, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let what you're feeling, your request, be made known to God. Name it. Give your petition out there. Name your anger, name your unhurt, name what's holding you back, just name it. Give it to God with thanksgiving. You notice that word right there in the scripture? Don't pray without thanksgiving. And then the peace, the shalom, the deep indwelling presence of God, the peace of God shall guard, even while Paul is under guard while he's writing this. He said, let me tell you where the real guard is. The guard is this transcending power of Jesus Christ. And through him, we are truly protected from that which would destroy us. Ingratitude destroys the soul. Ingratitude is idolatry. Ingratitude to God is saying that it doesn't matter who God is or what God does. It's all about me and what we do apart from him. And that is destruction. In this Thanksgiving, we remember what it was that Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president, did in the middle of the Civil War. When he stabilized a custom called Thanksgiving and established it to be regularly celebrated in November as a nation who will come, confess, be filled with a sorrow for sin, ask for God's guidance, and in this to let us be united in a togetherness with each other. Well, it's been a tough COVID-19 season, and there is more to come. But we live under God's sovereign grace, and God wins, and we win with him. Paul did not know how long he would be in prison. We know now, looking back, we don't know how long this lasts, but we do know the Alpha and the Omega. We do know the Creator of all, who is with us through it all. And this is not wasted time. This is sacred time to let God do in us that could not be done otherwise. That could not be done otherwise in the very circumstances we are in the midst of right now. God at his best, so that you may be at your best during the worst of times, to make them into the best of times. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.